So today we're with Ardon Steele, who I consider one of my mentors and one of the guys I respect most in the field of dating. And he's a guy who has been doing this forever, probably the unknown. You know, you're like the unknown father of the seduction community. You know, that I think you were doing stuff before anybody was. And I'm really, really appreciative of you being on our call today and also just that you're participating. And you have a wealth of knowledge that I think a lot of guys don't even, you know about. So I really appreciate having you on the line today.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Cool. And maybe we should just start by, what's your website? Is the Steel Balls Press?
Steelballs.com. The one and only. It's been there since 1996. And
wow.
Many people have tried to buy it from me. The name's not
Steel. Is that
right?
Okay. Well, how did you start with this? I mean, I know, you wrote your book on how older men can date younger women. Was it in the late 90s or when did it first come out?
Oh, God, no. I started that book in 84.
Wow.
Finished in 87. It's published in April of 87.
Wow.
And this is the 21st anniversary, about a month ago or 2 months ago, the 21st anniversary of How to Date Young Women. And
damn,
I sold about 200,000 copies of that in 21 years.
Damn.
Which barely pays the car payments.
Oh, I understand. I mean, we did.
The Body Language Secrets is the book that I make all the money with.
Huh.
Men are very reluctant to say they don't know what they're doing when they date a woman. So it's very difficult for a man to generate the courage to buy the book. Most men think that if I admit I don't know how to do something, that makes me a failure. I certainly never suffered from that problem. I've always been willing to ask people, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah, me too. Well, I'm just plain dumb and slow, so I know that about myself. But when you had written the book originally, like, how did you do the research? I mean, what were you,
Well, with all my personal ass kickings.
Uh-huh.
I got divorced in 82, and I spent the first 2 years, if you've read the book, I spent a year and 2 months doing what most guys do, and that's going to bars trying to meet women. And in those days, I did the math, and it was literally $20,000 out of my pocket. That's money taxes and paid on, and I got absolutely nowhere.
Oh, man.
I was lucky enough to meet a woman through a friend of mine who took pity on me, and she basically told me how the world works with men and women, not just older men and younger women, just men and women in particular. Her name is Sue Starr, and God bless her wherever she is today. She got me started down the right road by saying, you're too nice.
Hmm.
So she taught me the basics, and in return, I satisfied her sex drive. She thought I was very sexy. I was just too nice. So she would take me to bars and clubs and tell me how to talk to women in bars and clubs, but she said, you're never going to meet anybody you like in here. These people are all losers. She was very much of a realist about bars and clubs.
Hmm.
So that's how I got started. She got me started, and I was 42, and she was 32. And from there I went. I had tried, before I went to the bars and clubs, I had tried dating women my age, 40-ish, and they always wanted to know what my remarriage plans were before the salad got there.
Yeah.
So I'm serious. They want to know, will you come and take the place of the man who left me? And I really wasn't interested in that because I've been married to my first wife for 10 years and my second wife for 10 years, and I really didn't want to do that again. And I didn't mind women my age until they started busting my balls and blaming me for all the problems women have and all that feminist crap that was floating around then.
Yeah.
So I just, with Sue's help, I moved down the age ladder and started dating women in their mid-30s and gradually moved down into the late 20s. And eventually I was able to crack the 17-year-old barrier
and
enjoy life.
Wow.
Much different. The difference between a 24-year-old and a and a 20-year-old is just a quantum leap, and they have almost zero baggage at 20. They have the adolescent crap, but that comes with the territory. But they just don't have much baggage. They've maybe been dumped by two or three guys by that time, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. 24, they've been ruined by the guys in my book are called Randy Redporsche and Sammy Silverbeamer, the players out there. And so they're very difficult to get along with, and they're very suspicious of everybody. So my age preference is anywhere between 18 and 22 in general.
Even now? I mean, and are you pressing 70?
No, Joanna's 34. She'll do.
Okay, no. Right.
She'll do. No, if she died, I would definitely be back in looking for someone between 18 and 22 or 3.
Wow. But how old are you now?
I'm 68.
Damn, man.
I can't wait till next year. I can say I'm 69.
Holy shit, Don. Man.
Well, people want to know what the secret is. The secret is always date young women. You've got to stay on your toes. You've got to stay in shape. You've got to get rid of that gut. And you've got to stay up on current affairs. And you have to be able to dance, smoke dope, and stay up all night.
And that's it in a nutshell, huh? I mean,
yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, they don't want some old fart that can't keep up with them.
So, but that seems to be the collection of your knowledge over the past, like, 25 years of maybe researching.
In 25 years, what I would say, the most important thing I can share with your listeners or your readers is the number one thing women want is a man, with a capital M. That doesn't mean a macho man. It just means a man with a plan, man knows where he's going, what he's doing, what he wants. And this applies whether you're 18 or 68. Women react to that. And my book, How to Date Young Women, I wrote it when I didn't realize it wasn't because I didn't know how to date women. I just didn't know how to get a date.
Right.
I had it pointed out to me many times over the past 21 years that the principles apply whether you're a young man trying to date a young woman or you're like 25, he's trying to date 24-ish, whether you're 35 trying to date a 20-year-old, the principles are the same. The only difference between 35 and 20 is that she has a lot of reservations that you have to get past, and the way you get past them basically is to be a man.
Mm.
Don't try to be young. Don't try to dress like a young man. Don't use hip, clever slang. You have to be able to discuss the things she's interested in. You have to know. Let's see, I would say it would be wise if you read People magazine and look at the National Enquirer when you're in the supermarket line. You don't have to buy it. At least know that what's-her-name used to be on Cheers weighs 250 pounds. You shouldn't have a blank look on your face when she talks about that.
Or who Jennifer Aniston is dating or something, yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston is now a cougar, 39-year-old. With John Mayer is 30. Yeah, you need to know that kind of stuff and be able
to.
You just can't have a blank look on your face. You don't have to sit around and talk about crap in People magazine, but you do have to not look stupid when she says something.
It seems to me like there's a big difference, obviously, between like what you're doing and someone like Ross Jeffries, where even in the approach, you know, you're not. You know, I mean, I've known you long enough. You're not teaching about how to use patterns and lines and scripted material. You know what I mean? In the approach,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, the approach is very simple. You approach only women who are interested in you. And that's the other number one tip. You have to be a man, and you have to approach only women who are interested in you, and you have to be able to tell which ones are interested in you from body language from across the room. Which isn't that difficult. If you get my body language book, it's pretty simple.
Awesome.
And that's the secret. Most men don't understand this. A lot of these people hustling dating on the internet don't realize that females make the choice. Men don't have a damn thing to do with it. You can have all the great pickup lines in the world. You can have all the patterns you want, but the woman is the female in all mammal species, almost all species, not just mammals. The female is the one that makes the choice, and she's choosing from all the males who are courting her. And
right.
The reason a woman picks you is because you are acting like a man. You're not acting like a boy. You're not acting like a clown. You're honest, straightforward, upfront. What she sees is what she gets, and then she decides, yeah, I'll take this one. So
that makes sense. But a lot of guys buy that stuff. I mean, as you know, it's, you know, the
game. Oh, yeah,
it
just sells like crazy. It's actually what they're doing is selling hope to the hopeless. And they're going after a segment of the market where the guy has zero skills. And here's a quick fix. And the reality when I do my workshops is that what you need to learn is everything that most men learned in junior high school, college, and as a young adult male out in the party scene. So if you're 30 and you don't have those skills, none of the programs will help you, none. You have women.
Right.
Women do the choosing, and they have a very ancient, and I mean ancient, 200 million year routine they go through when they're picking from among the males that are courting them. And the man has to be a provider, a protector. And the third most important thing she's interested in is impregnating. But number one is provide and protect. If you're not capable of doing that, you're instantly dismissed, unless she's interested in a one-night stand. She happens to be ovulating that night. She might be interested in the bad boy motorcycle kind of guy for a night or two.
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
But in general, if you're interested in trying to get a girlfriend, you need to be someone that she can consider marrying. No matter what the livers say, that's generally on every woman's mind, even if it's not conscious, it's there.
But you think that even if you're meeting a woman who is in her, you know, 25 years old and you're 45, you think to a certain extent she's looking to get married too?
Oh, yeah. It isn't really marriage. They want to know they're not going to be used and dropped like a used condom. So you have to be the kind of person who's going to be straightforward up front. And a 25-year-old and a 45-year-old is not that big a deal because she's been around enough she can just decide, well, do I really want to just have a party with this guy for a couple of months and then move on? But if she's 20 and you're 45, it's a radically different proposition entirely. She has to generate in her own mind, you can't do it for her, she has to generate in her own mind the fantasy possibility, not the reality, the fantasy possibility that you two are going to have a romantic fling of some kind. She knows she's not going to marry you. But she doesn't want to be used, and she wants you to be straightforward and fair with her. And if you can deliver that, not in words, but in your actions and the way you behave, she'll consider it. But I need to warn everybody who's interested in this, only about 10%, and this is from empirical data. In my entire life, I'm 68, I have empirical data to back it up. About 10% of the women out there are interested in an affair with an older man. And of those, you will fuck it up badly with half of them.
Damn.
So that leaves you with 5%. So of those young women who are interested in an affair with an older man, it's up to you to take your time. The key on the back of my book, I put a new back on my book, so this is not on the back anymore. It's on the inside front cover. Let it happen. Don't make it happen. And I would say that's pretty much good for any relationship, older man, younger woman, or just even close to the same age couples. The man can't force anything. He can't make it happen. She's going to decide. She's going to go at her own speed, no matter what these speed dating experts tell you. Women choose. They have a evolutionary program that they use to pick.
Are there things, though, that, like, for older guys, what do you see older guys doing that fucks up their chances of ever doing this? I mean, it seems
they're too eager.
Yep.
They try too hard. They try to impress. And you can't do that. You have to be a man. And a man can take it or leave it. And when she's young and desirable, she has a long, long, long line to choose from. So one of the key points in how to date young women is different works. You have to be different. You especially have to be different than the boys who are chasing her. And what that means is, number one, you have to dress like a man. You have to be powerful. In other words, you can't dress like in blue jeans and a T-shirt. That doesn't send the right message. The right message is a business suit or expensive slacks and shoes and a nice sports shirt. But that immediately puts you in a different league. And you have to shake her hand like a man when you meet her. You don't just say, "Hi, Debbie, I'm Jim." You know, that's what boys do. Say, "Hi, Debbie, I'm Don Steele." Look her right in the eye and give her a nice manly handshake. Immediately separates you from the boys. So then you have to be a bit standoffish. You have to be slightly interested. But you can't be too interested, because her attitude is very dangerous to go out. Let's say she's 20 and you're 45. In her mind, it's very dangerous to go out with this guy because he'll use me and throw me away like a used condom. So I have to be very careful. I don't really know how to control this guy. I can control 19 to 25-year-olds by withholding sex and pretending to this and that, but I really don't know how this game is played with this guy. So you have to be not chasing her. You can't chase her at all. You have to let her go at her own speed and decide, well, that might be fun. And then you have to be, and I tell these guys, you have to put yourself in front of her two or three times a week until you're not a stranger. What that means is you can't be her friend, but you just have to be around. If it's some girl you work with, I would advise you to not do that, because every other female in the office is watching you. You may not think they're watching you, but they're watching every move you make. And they're gossiping about you. And if you're in one of those companies where banging the secretaries is reason to get fired, you will get fired. So I advise almost everybody to not try to date young women from work. It's office political suicide, basically. But if you can meet her where she works, or that's almost where I met every young woman I ever dated, was Bob's Big Boy is three blocks from my house. And I had affairs with nine different women across 10 years there. And Joanna was the last one. The first one was Carla. She's the book. The book is dedicated to her. And then there were a bunch of young women in between there. And then every other young woman I met, I either met them at a party of a friend's house, at my party, or where she worked. One of my long-term girlfriends, Kim, I met her at a bank where she worked. And I kept going in there. And Sue, she was a two-year girlfriend. She was in the same social club I was in. So the bars and clubs, I just advise you, just stay the hell out of them. It's infested with guys that are 10 times better at this than you are. Why bother? You wouldn't want to play basketball with Michael Jordan, so why would you go to a nightclub and try to compete with these smooth guys? It's silly. And the women in there are generally drinking too much. They've got delusions of finding Mr. Right in a bar. And some of them are just basic losers in a bar, females. So I strongly urge you to not go to bars and clubs. It's just generally useless. Wrong kind of people, and the competition is too stiff, pardon the pun.
Got it. So then where do you tell guys to go? Mostly restaurants or credit party?
Wherever she's working is the easiest way. But I have met two cashiers, had long-term relationships with them. When I say long-term, at least 2 months or longer. Cashiers at the supermarket, because you can go in there two or three times in a week and get to know them. I'm talking about age difference. I haven't been out with anybody under 26 is the oldest woman I think I've been out with since forever. And that was Kim, my girlfriend that I had when I met Joanna, who was 19.
Wow.
So I don't know about, in other words, I know about young women. I don't really know much about older women, because I'm not interested.
You're talking about anybody over 27 or something, huh?
Yeah, I'm an ageist. You know, I'm just an ageist. They're just so full of shit, and they have so much baggage. I mean, I play poker a lot now, and I was playing poker with a 34-year-old woman the other day, and what a bunch of ton of shit she had in her life. Yeah, I'm serious. You know, you live long enough and you got a lot of problems. I mean, I've got a lot of problems, but, you know, I can control mine. But most women, they just have a hell of a time. Women with a baby, here's another one. Don't even think about it. That's just total chaos. I tell every guy I work with on my coaching program, my lift server, my workshops, if a woman has a baby, guess what? You're always number two, and you're always going to be number two. So just forget about it. It's too crazy. There's too many problems. And the bad news is if you go out with her, she wants a substitute. She wants somebody to come and be daddy for her little kid. And doing the child a disservice by doing that, because you're 99 out of 100, you're not going to marry her. And the little kid gets her heart broken when the second daddy that she wants leaves. So it's just wrong all the way around. The single mothers are just not on my radar, never have been, and I would advise everybody to not do that.
What are the ways you're talking about, like, approach? So what you're proposing is, like, you know, that women pick you, then how do you approach them? Or how do you break the ice?
They don't really pick you. They signal you that they would like to meet you. And then you have to walk over there and introduce yourself and talk with them. That's all there is to it. There's no magic pickup lines. This one workshop I did in San Francisco, I love this woman's line. The guys kept saying to me, well, what do you say? And I said, you just say, hi, I'm Don Steele. Or, great party. You don't have to have any of this fancy bullshit. You just have to get over there. It's just after she signals you. You don't walk up to a Pam Anderson lookalike. Let's get this out of everybody's mind now. When you go to a wedding reception or a party or something like that, and you see this striking babe over there, and you decide you're going to use all your great pickup skills and go over and talk to her, what you've done is ruin your chances with every other woman at that event, because no woman wants to be second choice. So as soon as you walk over there, talk to that babe and get shot down, which you will, because she didn't look at you, she didn't smile at you, she didn't turn her body toward you, she didn't flip her hair toward you, he was just standing there minding her own business, and you go over and try your shit. Now, every woman in the room doesn't want anything to do with you. So don't do that. Go to the party, go to the reception, look around the room, say, which women are interested in me? The top three, all right? Which three women are interested in me, and what order are they the most interested? Then you go over and talk to the first one. But this is in all my workshops. It might be in some of my workshop videos. It probably is. You don't get physically too close, and it's all business. As far as anyone else in the room is looking at you too, it looks like a business meeting. And you shake hands with her, and the handshake will tell you yes, no, or maybe. And you don't need to do anything. Your handshake, she'll tell you instantly with her hand whether she wants you to stay, she wants you to go, or she wants you to come back later, maybe. So that's why you go to the first choice. If she's hot to trot with the yes handshake, you stay and talk a little bit, and you go to the bar, you calm down, and then you come back over and talk with her some more. So if she's a no, you go to your second choice. If she's a no, you go to your third choice. And when I say third choice, I mean the women that you have rated the most interested in me. She's the most interested, second most interested, third most interested. I mean, they have to be in your envelope, too, just because she's 300 pounds and interested in you. You don't go over there and talk to her. You know, I mean, somebody in your envelope, whatever that is. I have a very big envelope. I think that's good.
No, I do too. But then from there,
I would say 4'8" to 6'3", proportionate weight. They could even be 30, 35 pounds overweight. They can be any color. As long as they're below 30, I'll talk to them. I do have one age thing problem. I do have a problem with that.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I've talked to some really nice women who are 40. But there's just no way I would ever get involved with them, you know. Just no way. You know, they just have so many problems.
And then what do you do from...
You live... I have tons of problems, but I've been able to manage most of mine.
But then from there.
Well, go ahead. Anything you want to talk about?
No, but I mean, how do you go for getting like a date? I mean, phone number.
How do you get a date? Let's say the person, the female is the most interested in you, is a yes. You shake hands. You talk with her for about 5 minutes. You go wander around the room. You watch her. If she's watching you, she's definitely interested. You go back. You talk a little bit. You say, Debbie, I really enjoy talking with you, but I've got to go. Let's have coffee someday next week. And she says yes or no. If she says yes, you say, well, you know, I work at such and so, and I know you work at such and so. Let's meet halfway at lunchtime. She says yes or no. All right. She says yes. You say, well, Tuesday works best for me. She says, Tuesday works for me. You say, okay, I'll call you. And then you take out what I call your interesting conversation starting business card and give it to her. And say, that's the easiest way to get me. And then you say, how can I reach you? You've shown her your number first. It says, I'm not married. I'm not living with anybody. That's what the card does. And then she gives you a number, or you whip out your cell phone, and you say, how can I reach you? And she either gives you your number. If she gives you the email, this is a very common bit of behavior that's going on out there now. That's an entirely different problem. But let's say she gives you her phone number. Then you go home and you wait a day or two and you call her and set up the date for Starbucks. And the reason you go to a Starbucks or a, what I call a time-limited coffee date, is that it's easy to say yes to. You need to get her in a situation where she's not drunk.
Right, definitely.
And you're not drunk. And you need to look at her in the light of day, and she needs to look at you in the light of day, and both people might decide, I'm not interested at that point. So it's no big expense on either time or money part, and you get a chance to reveal a little bit more about yourself. You get to show off what you look like in business clothes, and you get to see what she looks like without that cleavage. So that's why we do it that way. If that date goes fine, then we do what we call a pizza and beer date. You wait a couple of days. You don't. During the coffee date, you do what we call throwing confetti in the air, and that means that you discuss a lot of things you're interested in. You reveal a lot. You don't sit there and ask her questions. You talk about what you're interested in. And if she happens to be interested in anything, you say something like this, oh, we ought to do that sometime. Indian food, Chinese food, best pizza in town, or anything like that. So we ought to do that sometime. And then a couple of days go by, you call her again and say, this is Dawn Steele, I'm calling, maybe we could have some Indian food sometime. How does that sound? She says, sure. And the reason I'm going through these steps, this is basic sales. We want one small yes at a time. We don't say, I want to take you to Indian food on Saturday night at 9 o'clock at the Brave Sitar or something. One small yes at a time. So like the coffee day, we should have coffee. Yes, we should. Lunchtime, yes, we should. Tuesday, yes, we should. And then we set it up. Okay, so it's the same thing when you call her back on the whatever you mentioned that you both said. The phrase was during that you talked during the coffee date was, we should do that sometime. She says, yes, we should. Then you call her and suggest that. And that date also should have a time limit. So when you talk with her, you say, you know, Debbie, that we're you go through the steps. We should have Indian food. Yes, we're going to go to the Brave Sitar. Oh, that's nice. And say, Saturday works for me. She says, Saturday works for me. Say, 7 o'clock would be best. Call Miss. I've got to get home no later than 9:30 because I've got this damn meeting in the morning to go to. So you've set it up, time limited it. It does the same thing as the time limited coffee date. It makes it easy for her to say yes to. She knows it's not dinner and you get to fuck me. It's just dinner, and ideally it's pizza and beer, where it's very informal. It's not romantic in one possible stretch of the imagination, and my day progression goes coffee, pizza and beer, time-limited lunch, and then a time-limited dinner date. That's the fourth date. The mistakes most guys make of any age is they want to take them out to a romantic dinner on the first date or second date. That's not a good idea. Every Titanium Babe I hire says the same thing. No, no, no. Don't do that. It makes me defensive, and it makes me think you're up to something. Just keep it simple.
Well,
I always kept it simple because it just seemed like the right thing to do. Nobody taught me how to do this. I just did it.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, what's the difference between that and going out?
By accident. Not from girls kicking my ass.
What about just going out for drinks? How come you don't just do that?
Depends on how old she is. Remember my age difference. It's always just.
Well, yeah, these girls don't know. They're not old enough to drink.
Some of them
is that
don't
why?
Have any, yeah, they don't have fake ID anymore. I mean, the fake IDs are getting hard to get, so they don't have them. Let me see. Drinking is generally not a good idea because drinks tend to, you tend to linger too long and you lose your mystery.
Hmm.
When she's drinking, she gets braver and starts asking the really penetrating questions and usually fuck up and give the wrong answers. So drinks are just generally, they're okay if you're like 30 and she's 28 or something. But if you're 30 and she's 21 or 22, it's a little risky. If it's an afternoon, like here back there, back east, here in California, we have places down in Long Beach and Laguna Beach and Santa Monica where you can go have a drink in the daytime on Saturday or Sunday and look at the water and look at the boats going up and down. That would be okay. Again, it would have to be time limited. The reason being the same as the other ones. If you stay too long, you lose all your mystery. And women are mostly fascinated by what they don't know. They're curious. Their curiosity can be used to get them to go out with you again. And you get to reveal more facets of your diamond on the third date. So if she finds out everything she wants to know on the second date, you're toast. Usually.
Oh, that makes sense.
So you hope plus doubt equals desire. And if you talk about your problems and you bitch about the weather and you're a negative person, you're just ruining everything. This wouldn't make any difference if you're 18 or 68.
Hmm.
You want to be a happy, positive person in general. You don't have to fake it, but just don't dwell on the negative. Don't bitch about the traffic, the weather, your boss, any of that stuff.
But then how do you manage a relationship with a younger woman? I mean, when there's that big of an age discrepancy, it would seem to me like you're opening up a hornet's nest of problems. I mean, are you?
Yeah, you sure are, but it's to me, the payoff is worth the effort. If there's a big age difference, like Carl and I and Joanna and I met Joanna when I was 53 and she was 19, and I met Carla when she was 19 and I was 44.
Wow.
And those are the two women I really cared about. Of all the young women. The woman of 26, Kim, wasn't much of a problem because she was 26. It's way different than 19. Sue was 27 when we split, so she wasn't much of a problem either. When they're over 25, they're just basically they've got their shit together, they have a job, they have a life, and stuff doesn't screw them up as bad as a younger woman. A younger woman has a crisis in her life every fucking day. Everything is a big deal. Everything's total chaos all the time. And that comes with the territory. The good news is they are so much better in bed and so much better just being around them. They don't bitch and whine and moan and complain about every fucking thing like older women do. But the problems are you have to be calm. You have to be... can't get jealous. She's going to try to make you jealous. You have to show a little bit of jealousy, but you can't show too much. Difficult sometimes.
Well, it just seems to me, you know, older guys have this idealized notion in their mind, dating younger women is going to be great, and there's not going to be problems, and they're going to be hot and all this stuff without being cognizant of the fact that, you know, there's downsides like in any other facet of life. I mean, that, you know.
But the relationship problems are the same if you're living together. Bathroom, you know, using the bathroom, all that shit, that's just normal under the same roof friction. That doesn't change whether she's 19 or whether she's 29. It doesn't make any difference. The problems you deal with when you're dealing with a young woman are all immaturity problems, problems of immaturity, problems of not knowing how to solve simple things, problems with getting along with coworkers and people, things like that. And all you have to do is not give too much advice. Don't tell her how to fix everything, but do be there to help her when she asks for help. When she says, I don't know what to do about this, then you can say something. But don't give advice that pisses them off. Excuse me. Don't tell them how to do things that pisses them off. If they ask, you tell them. It's not very difficult, except every other guy with a dick in the planet is trying to take her away from you. That's the problem.
Man.
Especially women like Joanna and Carla. I mean, Jesus Christ, every guy in the world wants to fuck them. So you have to continue to be a man the entire time. And a man doesn't take shit. He doesn't take shit from anybody, women or men. So you just have to be a man about it. I don't know what to say more than that, except when I say a man, I'm talking about a man in the sense that we would talk about in the 50s, the way a man behaves, not some guy with tattoos and an earring and leather jackets, stuff like that.
Well, how do you handle the jealousy? I mean, so guys are hitting on Joanna when you're out with her or what?
All the time, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know if you've seen a recent picture of her.
I saw an old one. She was really hot.
Grandfather. So,
jeez.
I don't do anything. I don't say anything. I mean, she's not trying to make me jealous. Early on, they try to make you jealous. I mean, if you react, well, let me clarify that. If you feel jealous, you've got to do something about it, but you've got to do it in a low-key way. No punching people, no yelling, no breaking things, none of that stuff. But you do have to say, you know, Debbie, I really don't like it when you come on to my friends when they're over here for a beer. I want you to knock that shit off.
Hmm.
And Carla had great big tits. I mean, gigantic tits. And about twice a year, she would dress. Normally, she dressed so you couldn't tell. About twice a year, she would wear clothes that caused men to howl and run around the block.
Holy shit, man. Damn.
But once I told her, I said, you know, hon, it's New Year's Eve, and I think you better tone down the cleavage. And this is our second New Year, so she said, okay. I said, you remember how those guys behaved last time? She said, yeah, I understand. And that was the end of it. But that's, we'd been together for a whole year. The first year, there's not much you can do about it. I mean, she wants to be chased. She wants men to come after her.
Right.
And you have to say something after the fact. You can't go over and try to get between every guy that's talking to her and her. That's acting like a boy, not like a man.
No, I mean, I agree. My girlfriend's 25, I'm 40, and, you know, it's the same
kind
of bullshit.
Pervert.
Me?
You're a pervert, man. You know,
I'm within the normal range, unlike you, you know.
Why be normal? That's one of my mottos.
It's true.
No, I'm glad you have somebody nice and light in your life. And at 40, you should be able to know where your ass is now. It's right behind you there, and you can find it.
No, it's a lot
easier. Yeah, it's much easier at 40 than it is at 20. That's for damn sure.
So when you were doing this, I mean, did you find a lot of young women? So you were only going after women who sent you signals, and you were able to read those.
Right.
But what percentage of the time?
Everybody.
You what?
Wait, let me back up. I get this all the time. When I do my workshops, I flirt with the coffee girls. I flirt with the, what do you call it, the girls at the desk, whatever they are. What
right.
Do you call them?
Baristas.
The registration desk.
They're called baristas.
And the waitresses that come and wait on us. And I don't mean blatant flirting. I'm nice to them. I smile at them. I compliment them on something. And guys say, don't you ever stop? I said, no, you never, ever stop. You have to let them know you're interested in them, or they won't let you know they're interested in you. So you, when you go to a party or you go to a reception or a wedding, you don't go stand in the corner and wait for some woman to signal. You have to circulate. You have to smile. You have to shake hands. You want to say hello to almost anybody you know. Stop and talk with them. They might introduce you to the girl over there. You have to make yourself seen and visible. You have to circulate to elevate is the phrase. So you have to say hi to people. You have to talk about the wedding or Jim plays volleyball with me. Do you play volleyball? You have to start conversations in the kitchen, anywhere. But
right.
Women who are interested in you will let you know. with their body language. They'll smile, they'll tilt their head, they'll do everything in my book. And then you try to prioritize them into one, two, and three, like I said, and then talk with them in particular and try to set up a coffee date for later on down the road. That's what I meant.
Oh, that makes sense. What about guys, though? It seems like, you know, I've coached a lot of guys. I've met them in person. And a lot of older guys are very socially awkward. So it's not just they don't just need one or two tips. It's almost like they need a complete overhaul in how they interact. You know, they really don't understand small talk. They don't. They're very awkward and shy and uncomfortable.
You can't do much with anybody like that. I've been doing this for forever. The guys who can't do small talk, I have them, there's a woman called, I can't remember her name, I think Debbie Fine, The Fine Art of Small Talk, a nice audio tape set, and that helps some of them, but generally if a guy's not very good at conversation, he's toast, and he's really toast with young women. An older woman will put up with his awkwardness and his inability to carry on a conversation, but a young woman won't because she just has so damn many choices. So a lot of the work we do in my workshops are conversation skills. And anybody from 18 to 68 has to be able to carry on a conversation. And the girls I hire, when I did therapy, I learned this technique. So we have the guy and the girl sit down, and they're doing a coffee date. And the guy does the best he can. And we give him some few tips on how to get the conversation started, what to do, what to say, blah, blah. Okay, and then he goes for about a minute, minute and a half. I say, okay, what do you think, Debbie? She says, no, let me show him. So we literally physically get up and change chairs. He sits on her chair, and she sits on his. And so she becomes the guy, and he becomes the girl. So she walks in, and she shows him this is the way you should do it, all right? And he does it. He sits there as a girl, and he tries to throw the tough questions at her, and she shows him how to handle them. And then they switch back again. And then she says, okay, let's see you do it. So he does it again. And so we videotape the whole thing, and then we show the videotape at lunchtime. And what happens is the guy, it's the most self-correcting thing in the world. The girl shows him this is how you do it, and this is what you say. This is how you keep it simple. And when she tries to lead you astray, this is how you get back on course and things like that. So teaching conversation skills, if the guy is shy, it's just about impossible. But if he just doesn't know what to say, what to do, when, it can be taught, but it has to be done in person. I can't imagine anybody ever being able to read a book or listen to audio tapes and learn how to have a conversation. They need to do it, and if you have guys who have a female friend, well, what we run into again is the problem of a guy being afraid to tell anybody he doesn't know how to do something. Like these guys come there and they can't even shake a woman's hand like a man. They give these dead fish handshakes. They try to break her knuckles. They don't know how to give a firm masculine handshake. So what we do first, early on in the workshop, is we have the women pretend they're men, and they go around the room and they say, okay, hi, I'm John, and they shake the guy's hand. And this is, we're trying to teach them, this is the way the girls want you to shake their hand. So that's the kind of thing that has to be done in person. You can't do it in a book. You can't do it on video. You can't do it.
Yep.
Audio tape. Same with the conversation stuff. There's certain things I have to get you in a room and have to get the girls with you. I lost my train of thought. Guy, if you tell a guy, if you have a good female friend, have her teach you. Okay? And that seems like very simple advice. Very few men will follow it for the very same reason they won't say, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right, that's true.
Even though the woman's a good friend, they won't say, look, I don't know how to carry on a conversation with a female. Could you help me? Or show me how to shake hands like a man. Most men would just rather die than tell anybody that. So when they come to the workshop, they've proven to me they have enough balls to say, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm here to learn. So we make fantastic progress in my three-day workshops because they're ready to learn from the girls.
No, that's smart. Well, that's the best way to do it.
So it's,
how often do you do courses?
Twice a year. We're doing one. I do one in like February or March, and then we do one in September or October. I think we're doing one in late September this year, the next one.
That's great.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I can actually change you. Joanna calls it geek to chic in one weekend.
Geek to chic, that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. They're geeks when they come in. She gets her hair cut. She takes them shopping. She puts them in all the clothes except the suit. I take them to the Hollywood suit outlet. I put them in a business suit and a date suit.
Mm.
Then we come back and do the workshop for 3 days with the girls.
Mm.
So they're dressed right. They have the right haircut. Now we got to work on. It's very simple. What you look like is number one. If you don't look like a man that she wants to talk to or she wants on top of her, nothing else, nothing will do any good. Nothing. If you're fat, you're toast. If you're too skinny, I can't help you. Nobody else can either, no matter what they say.
So you tell guys, lose weight
right
away.
What you look like, what you walk like. Then you have to learn how to walk like a man. When we meet people, the number one thing we look at is how they carry themselves. And women do this instinctively. Does he have steel balls or does he have oatmeal balls? That's what they're looking at when they watch you walk. So we do a lot on the body language, but then we have to teach these guys how to walk. And the girls walk right beside him, and then sometimes they emulate the guy's walk, and sometimes they walk beside him and help him hold his head up and his shoulders back. And
that's
again,
great.
We videotape it, and the guy can see the instant difference in how he looks. You're walking too fast, you're walking too slow, you're not looking at me, you're smiling way too soon. You look, my favorite one from the last workshop, the girl said to him, "You look like the preacher outside the church when everybody's leaving. You have the most insincere smile I've ever seen."
Wow.
So we have to, his name's Gary, we have to get Gary to lose that used car salesman smile and learn to smile in a real way.
So do you have any other closing comments? I mean, just before we, I mean, I think this might be a decent ending point on just any other general advice to guys who are older wanting to date younger women that we haven't covered yet.
Yeah, guys, I mean, the number one thing, I said it at the beginning of the show, I'm going to say it now, you have to be a man. She has a million boys to choose from, and the only reason she would ever pick you is because she wants to go out with a man. And one of the girls in my last workshop sounded like she was quoting chapter and verse from the book. She's 19 years old, and she said to me, "Are you laughing or crying?" And I said, "I'm laughing because it sounds like you read my book and you're just telling them exactly what you want." She said, I'll try to paraphrase it the best I can. One of the questions, I get these girls in front of the room on Sunday afternoon behind a table like they're experts, and the guys get in an audience, and then they can ask them any question they want, but it has to be in writing.
Right.
They can't ask them. Then the girls get to choose. It's all on 3x5 card. So you can ask any rude question you want, and they can choose to answer or not. They usually answer almost any question. Sex, missionary position, doggy style, oral sex, whatever you want, they'll answer it if you write it in a non-vulgar way.
Mm-hmm.
Because women love sex, too, and they want the guys to learn what we want. So they don't have many bones about it. We haven't had very many questions get turned down. But this guy says, "Could you tell me in simple English what you want from a, I'm 50 and you're 20, could you tell me what you want?" And Aaron said it almost like right out of the book. Be a man. Know what you're doing. Know where we're going. You know what you're doing. You're on time. And you don't dick around.
That's what he said. Great.
And that's really what it's about. Take charge. Be in charge. You don't have to be a dictator, but you have to be a man. You have to say,
yep,
"We're going to Sammy's tonight, and we're going to dance. That's what we're going to do." And you don't say, "What would you like to do?" You just do it. So you do the same thing in bed, by the way, guys. All these young women said the same thing. When one guy says, "We've been doing it, missionary position, for 6 weeks, and I want to do a doggy style. How do I suggest it to her?" And poor girl said, don't suggest it, just do it. And that's what I say in my book, you know, but these fucking guys have read the book, but for some reason when the girls say it, it just carries all the weight of authority with it.
I totally, of course, that makes
Just do it, yeah, very simple.